dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. What's up, Daddy?
Hey, good to see you back in studio. Quick trip, but when you're standing at the counter waiting for money, it went even faster.
Oh, how did Daddy do this past weekend? We did not get to our Johnny Casino's picks yesterday. We did not get to Daddy's picks because, well, two reasons. Daddy did okay, so obviously Daddy won't talk about it. Daddy!
College selections, 3-0. 3-0, none of them relatively close. We had Air Force, they won the game outright, getting 2.5 points. Penn State dominating Syracuse. And then the big game, USC, in the total domination and total just humiliation of Ohio State. 3-0. We split on Sunday, gave the juice money back to our guy, but nonetheless, 4-1, we'll take that any week. That improves us to 8-6 on the year. That's a win percentage of 571.
How'd the Jets do?
God.
Now, Derek, let's go to Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em for the weekend. And after I came off the huge win last week.
Yeah, you fell off a bit there, Doug. Doug coming in at 5-5 over the weekend.
Who did I pick?
Yeah, it looks like you had the losers. You had Kansas. You had Fresno State. You had Michigan. You had Georgia Tech. And you had Navy. Those are all losers.
Well, you know, Fresno State choked.
Kickers.
Kansas choked.
Kickers.
But you know that's fine. I think everybody took Kansas, didn't they?
I actually took South Florida, yes, yeah. And so did the caller also at South Florida. The caller went 6-4. Mark from Holdridge. I came in at 7-3. Daddy 8-2.
Which two did he miss?
Daddy missed. He had Kansas, and then he had Navy.
Navy played Duke.
Duke 41-31.
How does Duke score 41 points on anybody? They haven't scored 40. You know what? I'm going to look that up.
How is Duke favored over anybody?
Well,
from the Beat It Nerd category. But, hey, Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em comes your way every Friday here in the Doug and Daddy Show. And Mark from Holdridge won a $25 gift card. Johnny Casino's, home of the Wednesday night 10-ounce ribeye steak special for just $11.99. Johnny Casino's off 281 west of the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island. I will be in Grand Island tonight for some high school volleyball. That's one of the things we'll talk about on the show today. Northwest and Kearney High are playing this evening. All three Grand Island schools are rated in the all-class top 10 today. Obviously, that's the first time that's ever happened outside of Lincoln or Omaha, I would have to imagine. Because, well, there's very rarely any, you know, Class C schools. But they're off to a great start. Central Catholic beat Northwest this weekend, so there's a lot of volleyball to be played. We'll talk about that. A lot of area teams are rated.
Douglas, our big Monday Night Football matchup last night, I think, lived up to its billing, and people can rip on the defenses all they want, but both teams, some very, very good playmakers, whether they get the ball in the end zone or, well, decide to drop it at the one, however you want to decide, you know, where you want to. Well, what is the big deal about getting the ball out of your hands as soon as you cross that goal line? It's not that heavy. You're already headed in the right direction.
Well, and there was no celebration, yeah. Heavy fine. I would implement as heavy of a fine as you could possibly do against that idiot. And then they show what he did in the senior all-star game, the Army all-star game. I mean, they've said this kid has had problems. They've said it's somebody they almost have to have somebody watching him. It's like Adam Jones having three or four guys around him at all time. I mean, he's just totally a vegetable upstairs. I mean, sorry. If you are, you are. If you are, you are.
Don't!
That's all there is to it. Don't be a moron. If you don't want to be called a moron, hey, don't live up to the stereotype. If you don't want to be called a moron, don't act like a moron. Moron.
I'd like to come the other way and say, but you're exactly right. Yeah, you've got to use a little bit of logic and just. You know what? I can understand that in the All-American game. You know what? If you're having some fun, an All-Star game is one thing. When you're playing with the greatest in the world, you don't do that. You don't even... All he had to do, it doesn't even make sense what he did. That makes no sense. Now, I don't know. You're going to find him and... You know, if he's had that much trouble in the past, you know, we don't know. You know, obviously, people grow up a lot tougher places than Orton Bertrand in Germany, for God's sakes, Terry. I mean, God forbid he'd have a dad that said he loved him once in a while. I mean, it probably didn't happen. Probably a bizarre deal. Probably doesn't, you know. We don't know his...
All right, thanks. Before we get away from the college, there is a chance, I want you to know, there's a chance that on Friday's show, I will be releasing my college pick of the year. There's a chance. We have to wait and see. Because there was a game this past weekend that was so the wrong way. There's so many terms that the Vegas people use. It wasn't a backdoor cover. It wasn't the right pick. It wasn't the wrong pick. It was such an inflated victory that I am looking to bring you possibly my college pick of the year this week.
Now, if you're a new listener, this pick has never been... Has never lost.
4-0.
4-0.
Now they're not always high profile picks. Iowa State and Army, I believe, was one of them. Army covering in that game. I don't even remember who.
Rice. I believe one of the first ones was Rice and somebody.
Could be. I don't keep track. I just know that they were winners. That's all that matters.
Now
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email the Dent Popper inbox at Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. On the show today, Husker historian Mike Babcock. He's got a new book called The Nebraska Football Vault, The History of the Cornhuskers. It's a unique book. It's history of the Huskers, but we'll talk about that with Mike, and we'll also talk about the start to this season. Also, in the second half of the show today, Pete Kowalski from the USGA, United States Golf Association, is going to join us. We got the Ryder Cup coming up this week. They just awarded last week the U.S. Senior Open to the Omaha Country Club in 2013. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what goes into the process of selecting, because you have to submit a bid, obviously, and that's why a place like the Omaha Country Club, as opposed to maybe more... I don't know, if tougher courses, and everybody says how tough the Omaha Country Club is. Not very many people know, unless you're a pro in the state or a
tight
amateur.
Tree line, yeah. big old country club trees, I guess you would call them.
So we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. But anywho's, Daddy does a good job over the weekend. He wins Johnny Casino's Pigskin Pick'em, and we'll do that again coming up on Friday.
Doug, a lot of different directions. Obviously, we got a week off, so a lot of time to talk Nebraska football and break that down. I think, you know, you go back over the last weekend. Did I not say that Ed Hockley, when I went to the Denver-Dallas game, did I not say that Ed Hockley was, I just thought there were bizarre flags coming in from all over the field against Dallas and for Denver in that game. And I said, you know what? We should watch Ed Hockley when he officiates Cowboy. We don't need to watch Ed Hockley when he officiates Cowboy games anymore. Take that off your radar, people. Apparently, Ed Hockley made a little bit of wager on the side that said, you know what? Add the preseason wins and the regular season wins together, and I'm going to bet this win total. And he's just got two, with the Dallas win and then Sunday's win. And I didn't get a tie. I'm sure you hit on it yesterday. I know there's a point of contention for you on Sunday. What an embarrassment for the NFL.
And here's what happened sometime yesterday afternoon. I'm tired of it already. Ed Hockley is a good person. He is a good referee. And he made a mistake. All right, let's get off it. It's over. It's not going to be changed. If enough brouhaha is made about it to maybe change the rule in the future, that's fine. It's just, where are the other rules that need to be changed when it comes to replay? We already knew this one needed to be changed. We already knew this. When it's obvious that if even the whistle was blown before San Diego covered the football, which I don't think it really was, maybe a half a second, I mean, the whistle did not impact the play, and that's the bottom line. So that's, again, I'm tired of hearing about it, and it's not even been 48 hours.
Okay. Have I not been on a rant that Matt Hasselbeck, much overrated quarterback, loses to the 49ers? Loses at home?
Hey, Daddy's right about something. I don't know what it is.
He doesn't have any of his receivers, though. All of them are down. Deion Branch is down. I think his top three receivers are all actually injured for multiple weeks here.
El Sucko. Yeah, okay, he's got nobody to throw to.
In the worst
division.
It's a worst
nobody
division,
to throw to.
Bar none.
Fine, nobody to throw to. His numbers back up that he's a great quarterback. That argument is just insane. It's absolutely insane. And since you're on such a negative ad coming back off the day off, let's just go to delusional Husker fan who's on the same wavelength here. Although I'm very happy that we're 3-0 this year, I'm still not real sure what we've seen since we played three high school varsity teams. I hear so many people gushing on how great we are and why aren't we ranked in the top 25. I think we left some points on the field Saturday, but what I'm most worried about is the amount of yards given up to a subpar team in New Mexico State. By the way, have you seen that many ugly options ran in a single game? Not the same looking option Tommy or Frost ran. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing, or am I just thinking too much?
Delusional. It's not the same offense which Tommy or Frost ran, first of all.
You're way off base with this one. A, New Mexico State quality quarterback. B, most of those yards came in trash time in the fourth quarter. You throw out the opening drive, which, you know, fine, count the opening drive. I'm just saying, but from the opening drive to trash time, New Mexico State didn't do anything. There was nothing there. So it was not an obscene amount of yards that New Mexico State put up in this football game. Yes, it's not the old days where we held them to 104. It's never going to be the old days. Tommy and Frost, never going to have that again at Nebraska. They don't run the option in college football anymore for teams that win national championships. You may run it two or three times, but it's not a designed 50% of the time offense.
It's not the fullback up the middle fake and then run the option. It's not like that anymore.
And what New Mexico State was not running from time to time on the direct snaps, not the option. And by the way, I want to bring this out as a pet peeve. All of a sudden this weekend, I heard it from the pros, I've heard it from collegiate folks, a direct snap to the quarterback is a snap. A direct snap to a running back is a direct snap. If I hear another guy say, and Favre in the shotgun, it's a direct snap to Favre, well, no S. And all I had to do, I didn't get Monday Night Football last week, but last night, Keyshawn Johnson, at the end of the day, which took all over ESPN last year. He started that phrase, and everybody was saying it by the end of the year on ESPN. Radio, television, didn't matter. At the end of the day. What the hell does that mean? When you say it, I understand what it means when you say it once, but when you say it four times in one discussion, at the end of the day, I'd rather have Terrell Owens than Randy Moss. At the end of the day.
See,
what does that mean?
I just have to be a little bit negative and get him going, and then totally I'm the positive one again.
So anyway, back to what Jim said at the Dan Popper inbox. Are you guys seeing what I'm seeing, or am I just thinking too much? Well, you're thinking too much, but I don't know what you want to see. If you're not happy about being 3-0 right now, then turn in every piece of your Husker equipment, all your gear, and paint it a different color because you're not a Husker fan.
Yeah, I thought there were so many great things, and I was a little bit surprised because what stood out to me is obviously there's a little biased flavor when we're cheering for whether it be a Drew Young or a Crick or Todd Peterson, and this week it happened to be Lance Sorrell that got the playing time and gets his eight tackles. But I thought that for the first time ever, that Steinkuhler looked like a monster. Was he not in the backfield every play? He was wreaking havoc. Now, he didn't have a tackle, so I think he was just running the quarterback into other people. I thought he played a whale of a football game.
Who's that?
Steinkuhler, up front. I mean, I thought he was getting penetration. Nobody could block him on Saturday. That was the first time I ever saw that.
Well, again, New Mexico State's not good. Let's not kid ourselves. They had a pretty good quarterback. They had a funky-looking offense and defense. And because it's a little funky, that allowed them to stay close to maybe teams that could blow them out. I mean, there's different ways to look at it. If they're running stuff that's not going to probably ever allow them to be a great football team. They're running stuff that allows them maybe to be competitive against some teams in a lower-tier conference.
Fair.
That's what they're doing. Lance Thorell, supposed to have Lance this week. We've had our contacts. You know, as I said yesterday on the show, I could pick up the phone right now, call Lance. But that's not the way you do things. You clear it through the channels at the university, and we're one step away from hopefully having Lance on here in the next couple days after a monster game, obviously early in his career, his best game as a Husker. Let's go back to the Dent Popper inbox here. Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper, home of the paintless dent repair. They've been doing it for years. Stop by and see them for a free estimate today on the bricks downtown Kearney. Fast Willie chimes in. The most embarrassing thing about the Cowboys last night was not the defense. It was Emmett Smith. He is absolutely painful to watch and listen to. Well, I don't think his Just for Men came in last night. Kornheiser is a close second. Of course, this is Fast Willie, you know, Steeler fan, obviously. One last thing Fast Willie wants to know. Hey, did you guys know it was Hispanic Culture Awareness Month?
No, I did not.
You didn't watch the game last night.
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, that was the whole thing. I'd hate to see if they had time to kill last night. Hank Williams Jr.'s Open had, you know, Arriba! And all that. And then we had different NFL ads with Hispanic people, Hispanic-speaking people. You know, Broncos are my team, Cowboys are my team, whoever else is my team. And, I mean, it was actually kind of beaten a little too much. Yay, it's Hispanic Awareness Month or whatever it is. It's also probably Spade Your Dog Week. I mean, you know, it's Chocolate Ice Cream Day. You know, good God, they name everything anymore.
No, I did get to catch the game, most of it on the radio. And have you ever listened to Jim Gray's pregame leading into the half-hour pregame that he does? He basically has three big-time guests. And last night it was, I'd say big-time guests, but they're national guys. Chris Collinsworth, Mike Ditka, and then Jerry Jones joined him. But he basically asked one question to each guy. And I was like, Mike Ditka was like, Mike, we got to take you back to yesterday, the topic, obviously, San Diego, the call at the end, just your thoughts. So Ditka rambles on it, and didn't really ramble on. It's not like the guy talked for 4 or 5 minutes. He says a short paragraph about it and basically that it stinks. Jim Gray goes, thanks so much, Coach. We'll see you next week. Coach Mike Ditka brought to you by the Chevy Sierra. And he reads his clip and goes, and we'll be back with Jerry Jones after this. It's only one question. He asked Jerry Jones two questions. That was a big guess.
Why is Nebraska's pregame 5 hours? Exactly. Mike Babcock joins us to talk Husker football, Husker history after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
After listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, many people are heard to mutter,
who are those guys?
Those guys, we'll be right back.
It's the once a year, all out blowout at Kearney Yamaha. We'll save up to $4,000 that's been slashed off prices of select models of Yamaha 08 motorcycles in stock. Low financing is available. Whether you want to travel in style on the powerful 1900 CC Stratoliner with locking side bags and a detachable windshield, or you want to choose from the 9 classic Yamaha or custom V-Star models, Kearney Yamaha has the bike for you. But these incredible deals at Kearney Yamaha won't last long. It's the once a year, all out blowout going on now at Kearney Yamaha. Years of experience and a huge selection. Kearney Yamaha, Nebraska's power sports mall, just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft, ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's power sports mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's power sports mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Now, here's a real eye-opener for you. Lind Eye Care of Kearney is moving. That's right. As of October 15th, their new location will be at 4107 7th Avenue. At Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs, whether it's new contacts or LASIK surgery. At Lind Eye Care, they'll treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to visit Lind Eye Care in their new location at 4107 7th Avenue, beginning on October 15th.
Hi, this is Phil Gordon, professional poker player. You're listening to ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska on 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see more sunshine develop across the area today as temperatures climb up to about 84 for the high. Winds will also stay to the southwest for 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and a light southwest wind with lows of 50. Highs push back to 84 Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 72. Oh, I heard this the other day, driving around and about wrecked the car. That's right, it's Hispanic month, people.
Celebrate! Corona's around.
Okay, that's enough of that. 1-888-455-ESPN. Mike Babcock going to join us. And then from the USGA, Pete Kowalski going to join us as well in the second half of the program. Had some pretty decent high school football over the weekend. Bob Jensen's going to join us on the program tomorrow to talk about what happened in week two and also what's coming up this week. Some pretty good matchups in the area. Maybe one of the top matchups in our area is where Tony and I will be on Friday night. Top five matchup in D1 as Overton travels to Elwood. So we'll have that game for you on a Friday night, and we'll talk about all the other ones that are coming up around the area as well. As we told you, UNK volleyball is in action tonight. They're up to number 10 in the country, and the Lopers take on unbeaten South Dakota this evening. South Dakota comes in at 11-0. They're making that transition to Division I, so big match tonight at the Health Sports Center. That gets underway at 7 o'clock. Well, on Tuesdays, we always have a special guest to talk Husker football and to bring you Bo Pelini's press conference. Well, it is a bye week, so no Bo Pelini, but we go to the top of the list of special guests and welcome in, I call him Husker historian, Mike Babcock. Mike, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? You want me to say it is what it is so we can get the Bo Pelini thing in there?
It is what it is, and we got to get better. That's all we're going to do during this bye week. Mike, how's it going?
Good, good. How about you?
Well, we're having a good time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as always, and you've got a new book out called Nebraska Football Vault. We'll talk about that here in a minute or two, but you touch on Bo, and I want to talk a little bit about how the Huskers have started here so far this season, but Bo has written a little spot for your book. Bo already has another book out. Bo hasn't lived in the state of Nebraska for a year and a half, and Husker fans are absolutely enthralled with this guy. How did this happen in such a short amount of time?
Well, I think his experience here in 2003 as defensive coordinator and then stepping in for that Alamo Bowl victory against Michigan State, you know, I think fans want to, you know, fans want to have hope. They want to be optimistic. And I think that because of what he did in 2003 and because of what happened since then, you know, the program was down as low as it's ever been. And people want hope, and there's a reflection of hope in the hiring of Bo Pelini, and I think his acknowledgement that the way Tom Osborne did certain things was the way he was going to try to do it, and I think people have just picked up on that, and there's a little element of wanting to regain the past, I think, in his hiring.
Mike, I guess one thing that caught my eye this weekend and reading some stuff after the game was, you know, he told his wife that we need to come out and start. Well, he told us before, well, he never talks about football at home. Never does that at all. His kids and his wife, boy, is totally separate. And, you know, I think he wanted to have that separation early on. Do you sense him getting more comfortable behind that microphone?
Well, I think he is, but I think the thing about Bo is he pretty much says what he thinks. And, you know, that probably makes it a little more difficult when you deal with reporters, because you got to get in that mindset where you say certain things in response to certain questions, and when you're a pretty straight shooter, sometimes that's not easy to do. So it takes a little preparation before you get to that point. You know, it's just like Coach is saying, they never read the newspapers, but they always seem to know what's in the newspaper.
Probably because we tell them, if nothing else. Mike Babcock joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So, Mike, what do you think? Huskers threw three games. There was appeared to be a little bump in the road against San Jose State. I chalked that up to Joe Gans kind of feeling good about himself, showing up on ESPN and all the Huskers getting a little extra press time, but they looked back in sync this last week. Now they run into the toughest stretch of their entire season over the next three ball games. Your thoughts on where they're at right now?
Well, you know, I said going into the season I thought Nebraska 7-5 in a bowl game would be pretty good. And, you know, there's been a point or two during these first three games where I wondered if 7-5 was a little bit too optimistic because I didn't see some of the things that I expected to see. But you know, I guess all things considered, Nebraska is probably about where you figured it would be three games in here. And we won't really know a whole lot until we see the Virginia Tech game. I think we'll learn a lot about Nebraska in that game. And then, obviously, the stretch. From then on, the Big 12, it's going to be a scrap every week, I think. And you got two really tough ones on the road in Texas Tech and Oklahoma. So those are probably going to be difficult to mark down in the win column. So it's going to be a big scrap, I think, for Nebraska from here on out. We'll learn a lot. I'm looking forward to the Virginia Tech game because I think we'll learn a lot more about Nebraska than we have in the first three games.
Mike, as you look ahead towards that Virginia Tech game, is it key that for our defense to set the tone early in that game and stop maybe a lackluster offense?
Well, you know, I think that the defense obviously is going to be a key all the way through the Big 12. The defense is going to have to play at a high level in order for Nebraska to be successful. And I guess coming out of the New Mexico State game, we can feel good about that to some extent because I thought the defense after that first series, during that first series, I thought this thing is going to be about 55-48, the way New Mexico State went down the field. But then Nebraska got the interception, the deflection there by Zach Potter. And stop that drive, and you know, from then on, I didn't feel like New Mexico State really did very much. I don't know what your impression was, but I thought the defense played pretty well.
Yeah, I think as Coach Pelini said, they're heading in the right direction. And as much as we want to love Lance Thorell being from our area, I think that has to still give some folks pause for concern that you got a redshirt freshman standing in there and leading this defense.
A walk-on.
And not leading him, but was second in tackles. And so hopefully that's good for the future. But I still think this is as good as Husker fan is going to feel all year long. I was right on with you, Mike. I said 7-5 is what I thought for this team. I still think 7-5. I really haven't seen anything that has changed my mind, and that's been kind of a topic of discussion on our show for the last couple of weeks. Has anything changed your mind? Would you still go with that 7-5 prediction?
I'd still go with that, but like I said, there have been a couple times here early in those first three games where I was thinking maybe 6-6 would be more realistic because it's going to be a scrap. Now, the thing is, a lot of what it's going to depend on how the teams at Nebraska plays in a conference, how they play as well. For example, you don't play Colorado till last game of the season, all right? It's pretty difficult to say what's going to happen in a game like that because you don't know how Nebraska's playing up to that point. You don't know how Colorado's playing up to that point. But right now it looks like, you know, that could be a pretty big challenge too. And I think when I was figuring my 7-5, I think I had the Colorado game on Nebraska's side, and I probably still would have it that way. But this is really one of those things where you have to look at it from a coaching cliche standpoint, one game at a time. I don't think you can really project very much what's going to happen 2 or 3 or 4 weeks from now. I think you pretty much have to look at it game by game.
Husker historian Mike Babcock joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, we first got to know him as the beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, which he did for 17 years. Now he's contributing editor for Huskers Illustrated, freelance writer. Not his first book, but boy, a unique book. And obviously, I haven't got a chance to read the whole thing, but I have definitely scanned it and looked at the different parts of the book. It's called Nebraska Football Vault. The idea for this, and I guess what's behind it, there's little artifacts in the book, pockets with the tickets from the 1941 Rose Bowl and programs from games back in 1905 and things like that. This this has a little bit of everything. If you are a Husker fan at all, this is going to make a great Christmas gift when that rolls around. But, Mike, I know for a long time you've wanted to put together something like this.
Yeah, there's a publisher, I think it's based in Atlanta, Whitmuth Publishing, and it has done a series of these books. I would guess there's probably 10 to 15 of these books from different colleges, Alabama, Auburn, Texas, and Nebraska. I think Colorado just had one come out about the same time as the Nebraska one's coming out.
That would be a smaller book, I would assume.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Smaller probably doesn't apply to this series. These things are pretty elaborate, and I was pretty impressed. Before I started the project, which is licensed by the university, they sent me a copy of the Georgia book, and I was kind of fascinated with the replica, the things you mentioned, the tickets and the replica program covers, and I think the Nebraska one has a replica of a bubblegum card of Bobby Reynolds, all those kind of things throughout the book. That was the kind of thing that fascinated me about it. Visually, it's really something, and they were pretty aggressive in trying to collect artwork and things that they could make replicas of. Sent out a couple of people twice on two occasions, spent the better part of 2 weeks out here going through archives, contacting some collectors that had some of these things in their collection and photographing them and making the replicas.
Mike, what part of the book did you start to identify and kind of remember your early coverings of the Huskers?
Well, I didn't start covering the Huskers until 1978, but since I grew up in Nebraska, I was interested in Nebraska football before Bob Devaney got here, and so the first couple of games that I ever went to were before Bob arrived when Bill Jennings was a coach, and it was always a big deal for me to just get an opportunity to go to Memorial Stadium and see Nebraska play. It didn't matter that the team wasn't particularly good at that time, obviously, but it was always an exciting thing for me. But I didn't start covering them until 1978, and I count it as a blessing. You know, I got to know Bob Devaney a little bit as athletic director, and we worked on a book with him at one point, and I covered the team during the bulk of Dom Osborne's coaching career, so I saw an era of Nebraska football that's probably, well, I won't say probably, it'll never be duplicated. You'll never have the kind of consistent success that the program had under Tom Osborne, and certainly not three national championships in 4 years, which has really colored everything since then, because I think people look at it and think it's a lot easier to win national championships than it is.
We're talking with Mike Babcock, co-author of Nebraska Football Vault, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And when you go back in time here, can you compare a little bit, maybe not necessarily athlete-wise, but can you compare what Nebraska football is going through now to any other time in Nebraska football history?
Well, I always thought, you know, that now the 4 years that Bill Callahan was coach here, probably going to be remembered in a similar way to the time that Bill Glassford was coach. I mean, I think that Nebraska had some success under Bill Glassford. Had some down years. There was a player revolt towards the end of Bill Glassford's tenure. So there was controversy, and I think there's been controversy, obviously, during Bill Callahan's four seasons. So I think it's kind of comparable to that, and I think that again, that's why we have so much optimism now. I think because of the stretch that Nebraska went through, but 4 years of downtime. Well, and you can't really say downtime all 4 years, because they did win the North Division 1 year, and they did get to the Alamo Bowl and beat Michigan. But you know, it's kind of a, in the whole scheme of things, it's not that, you know, 4 years of even 4 years of downtime is not that big a deal when you look at the period immediately preceding one. When Bob Devaney came here, there was quite a stretch of not success. It was non-winning seasons, and so it's kind of a blip on the radar screen, I guess, the last four seasons.
Mike, I guess in covering him from 78 until now, give us a couple guys that you really enjoyed, whether it be players, coaches, opposing players, coaches, that you had a lot of fun with and said, boy, I wish I could do this interview more often or whatnot.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I think reporters sometimes get the impression that they know these people better than they do. But, you know, there are a couple players that I have a special good feeling for. One of them is Roger Craig. I thought he was kind of the definitive team guy. You know, he made the change to fullback there his senior year so they could get him and Mike Rozier on the field at the same time. And then Roger was plagued by injuries and really didn't get to play a whole lot his senior year. But I thought he was really a class guy. And really, there have been very few players that I haven't felt like I appreciated, I guess, how they would accommodate reporters, because it's an imposition when you consider the demands of being playing football and lifting weights and all the things that are expected of you, and then being a student as well, student athlete, to answer the same questions over and over and over from reporters. They're accommodating you in a lot of ways, and so I appreciate most of the players. But a guy like Roger Craig was special. A guy like Rod Horn, defensive tackle in the late 70s, right when I first started covering him, was a great guy. He was always really kind to me, and there'd probably be too many players, too numerous to mention all of the guys that I appreciate their willingness to do interviews and to acknowledge that even when you ask a stupid question that they wouldn't say that was stupid, they try to answer it. So I've said this time and time again, if it weren't for the people that I was around, and I've done this for about 30 years, if it wasn't for the people that I've been around, that's players, coaches, media types, support personnel, so forth, I wouldn't have done it for that long, because the games, become a secondary consideration. You know, it's not that big a deal on Saturdays. It's more what happens day to day, the people that you deal with.
Mike Babcock with us on the Doug and Danny Show. Last question for you, Mike, because sometimes as I was thumbing through the book, there's some things here that either I didn't remember or didn't know. And right here, so much is made of Notre Dame and the Four Horsemen. And just a tidbit for the listeners, and this is one of the tidbits that you find in the book here. During the three seasons that the Four Horsemen played for Notre Dame lost only two games, both to Nebraska. Mike, when you were putting the book together, what was the most interesting section? Because it's kind of broken up into decades or years. What was the most interesting section for you to put together?
Well, I like the early stuff because the thing that interests me about it is that, when you go into writing a history and you get far enough back, you can just about say anything and nobody's going to find out whether that was accurate or not. Nobody remembers. But, every once in a while I'll find something that has been passed down from one sports writer or one history of Nebraska football or one media guide to another that ends up being not correct. If you can find the original source, or if you can find a newspaper article or, some kind of original piece of information, sometimes you'll find something that everybody thought was the case and then it ends up being not the case. So the farther back you go, the more interested I get, because it's just it's kind of a challenge to try to track down the when was the first time that you actually saw in print the word Cornhuskers as applied to Nebraska? Those kind of things. That interests me, I guess.
Well, it is an outstanding read, and every Husker fan should have it out in stores soon. It's the history of the Cornhuskers, Nebraska Football Vault, the forward, Tom Osborne, afterward, Bo Pelini. So that just shows the respect they have for the author, Mike Babcock. And, Mike, we sure appreciate the extended chat here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you next week in Lincoln.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me, and, yeah, we will see. This is a great time of year. We'll see you. We'll see you down here.
Okay, Mike, thanks. Mike Babcock joins us. It's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and coming up, we're going to talk a little golf. But I'll tell you what, this is a big book.
It's
thick.
It's thick, but it's not like you're going to have to read for 16 days.
It's not pictures. It has pictures. I want to do Troutman's Tuesday Trivia right now as we go into the break, and then Pete Kowalski is going to join us from the USGA, talking about the Senior Open coming to Omaha and all other things that are hot right now in golf. Here is Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 1-888-455-ESPN, 1-888-455-ESPN. If you have not won from Troutman's in the last 2 months, you are eligible. We're going to talk Husker football.
How would these people, how would they know?
Well, here you go. Here you go. You want to do it live on the air again?
I think so.
Okay, we'll do it live on the air. Derek, let's take them. I've got two or three different folks that we want to talk to on the Doug and Daddy show. So as soon as Derek gets us situated here, we'll do some Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Doug and Daddy show, good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is Terry.
Terry, I've got a Husker trivia question for you. This comes straight out of the book that we were just talking about with Mike Babcock, Nebraska Football Vault. Johnny Rogers is the all-time leading receiver when it comes to yards in Nebraska history. Who is second?
Irving Fryer?
That is not right, Terry, but thanks for calling because that would have been my guess. Irving's actually fifth. Doug and Daddy Show, good morning. Who are we talking with?
Bill.
Bill, I've got a question for you. Who is the second leading receiver in Nebraska history? Johnny Rogers is number one.
Is it Matt Davison?
Bill is right. Matt Davison. It's not even close, though. Johnny Rogers, 2,479. Matt Davison, 1,456. And you'll never guess. But Bill, if you can, I'll tell you what, if you can guess who's third. Any guess?
Jarvis Redwine.
Terrence Nunn. Hey, Bill, hold on to the line. Congratulations. $25 gift card to a Troutman's.
Okay, thanks.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. That's right. Johnny Rogers, Matt Davison, Terrence Nunn, Matt Herrien, Irving Fryer, top five receivers in Husker history. We need to take a break back after this.
And now, another unsolicited listener comment on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
If you're looking for precision, power, and amazing control on a car, you take it for a test drive. So why not test drive a chainsaw too at Husqvarna's Chainsaw Demo Days? Stop by your Husqvarna dealer and experience the power and precision of Husqvarna's new 460 Rancher. Get chainsaw operation tips, expert advice, and a new Husqvarna hat too. Master your great outdoors with professionally proven Husqvarna. For a dealer near you, visit MasterYourGreatOutdoors.com.
If a stiff neck or an aching back is preventing you from working out, playing with your kids, or just enjoying special events, Salon Paws can help. Salon Paws. They're medicated patches that provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck or aching back. Just lasting relief. Get back to enjoying the life you deserve with Salon Paws. Available at major drugstores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
S-A-L-O-N-P-A-S. Salon Paws. Be more active.
Moonlight Custom Screen Print and Embroidery are currently searching for a full-time graphic artist. If you are self-motivated and detail-oriented, experienced in Illustrator and Corel Draw, and would enjoy working for a locally owned and operated company who offers paid holidays and vacation, call 308-237-0397 or stop by and apply today at Moonlight Printing, 1925 Avenue A in Kearney. Also looking for a part-time, possibly full-time person experienced in embroidery or screen printing. Moonlight Custom Printing and Embroidery, now hiring.
Think you can put the ball in the goal? Find out this Saturday at the Elk Soccer Shoot. The shoot will take place at the Ted Baldwin Park with registration from 10 to 11 a.m. Competition from 10:30 to 11:30 and the medal presentation at 11:45. Boys and girls 14 and younger are invited to participate in this fun, free event. Medals will be awarded to first, second, and third place in each age group. Make plans now to attend the Elk Soccer Shoot this Saturday at the Ted Baldwin Park. For more information, call 308-293-2835.
Every Friday, Doug and Daddy's College Football Pick'em can win you a gift certificate to Johnny Casinos. Between 11 and noon every Friday during the football season, Johnny Casinos, west side of the Conestoga Mall, reminding you that what goes on during parts of Doug and Daddy is brought to you by Johnny Casino.
We'll see more sunshine develop across the area today as temperatures climb to about 84 for the high. Winds will also stay to the southwest for 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and a light southwest wind with lows of 50. Highs push back to 84 Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 72.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A reminder, we've got a lot of football coming your way this weekend, and it starts Thursday night with West Virginia and Colorado. Big football game coming your way Thursday, Friday high school, Saturday college football doubleheader, and then a triple header on Sunday. But also coming up this week, the Ryder Cup, and we're going to talk a little golf here in just a moment. I bet the grass is real nice there, Daddy.
Well, it's cooling off, and everybody wants to have things look good for the winter. Well, before it freezes, you need to call Curbit Continuous Edging. It lays low to the ground, making it easy to get close to that mower. Don't have a lot of mowing left this year, so make sure you get that in. It's durable, full 1 year, everything warranty when it comes to installation or material defects. Call Curbit today or check them out, curbit.net, for more information. Hey, commercial, residential, doesn't matter. Get a hold of Curbit. Matt and the gang will take care of you. They're going to give you a free estimate. What's better than that? They're going to give you ideas, and that's what it's all about. Get a hold of curbit.net or today, check them out. All your landscaping needs. Matt and the gang.
What happened there? There was a page missing?
Yeah.
We'll work on that for you. Hey, we as promised to get to talk a little golf. The United States Senior Open has been awarded to the Omaha Country Club in 2013. And joining us today to talk about that is the manager of media relations for the United States Golf Association, Pete Kowalski. And Pete joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, guys. Good to talk to you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nebraska's already fired up about this, and it's still 5 years away. Let's start right there. There's a lot of questions because, let's face it, Nebraska, when it comes to the national golfing scene, is not a hotbed for hosting events. They go to beautiful golf courses along the coast, and when you come to the Midwest, it's usually Chicago. Oklahoma's had one, obviously, out in Denver before. The process that the Omaha Country Club is selected started where?
Well, it first starts with the interest on the club's level to have a national championship. And then that interest is relayed to the USGA. The USGA then sends people from the staff out to take a look at the golf course. And once the golf course is deemed to be the highest quality golf course that we can get ourselves to, which is probably the number one criteria for any USGA site selection, then we go to the process of, okay, you guys are definitely good enough. Let's see if we can make this work. And the renovations that at Omaha Country Club made to the golf course were very much appreciated by the folks from the USGA who visited. And then the give and take and the process began.
So, Pete, I guess it's safe to assume after the USGA people arrived there, they say, boy, it would sure be interesting if number 8 had some bunkers guarding the front right side. We think that's kind of a bailout area. We'd like to toughen that up. And they say that on 3 or 4 more. As long as that is accommodated, that's exciting for the USGA, and then they can follow through with that?
Yeah. Our people who set up the golf course for the conditions of the championship had been out prior to any of the agreements. And said, you know, this is the kind of ground that we want to have test the players every part of their game for a national championship, and it looks like a good spot to do it. That is the real reason why we're going. And the ancillary factor is the Senior Open, from the outside the ropes perspective, has always been a very successful event when we go to a mid-sized market and when we go to a mid-sized market in the Midwest. Those two key factors were very key in Omaha Country Club getting the Senior Open for 2013.
Pete Kowalski, manager of media relations for the USGA, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What happens between now and when the Open comes to Omaha in 2013 as far as people playing the course, any more changes to the course? It's still a long ways out, but that's why it is, to prepare the course for this one weekend 5 years down the road. What happens between now and then?
Well, there's quite a few things that happen, guys. One would be that the infrastructure for the support of the championship would have to be formulated by the club. There's a lot of volunteers that are needed. I'm sure there's some corporate assistance that's needed. There is need for vendors to put up the infrastructure, because you're going to have temporary structures that need power, light, cable, or internet, all that kind of stuff. All those kind of things have to be laid into place. Then you've got to start with your ticket package. How much do you want to charge? How do you want to do it? All of that kind of thing happens on the outside of the ropes part of the championship. And on the inside of the ropes championship, it's just, let's keep the conditions the way we want them, and let's see how the golf course plays, and you know, let's just keep going from there. Our folks who do set up the golf course for the championship play will come out and visit several times before that time just to make sure things are good. Our point person in charge, a staff person, will come out to the club many times and work with folks like Pat Duffy and get everything in a row. It is quite a long process to get all those ducks in a row, and if you don't give yourself the lead time, you're pushing up against the deadline, and I salute Omaha Country Club for being so active in getting things done so that they are now giving themselves some cushion to get a lot of those things done and get them done in-depth, get them done completely, get them done accurately before we actually do get on property back in up in 2013.
Pete, I think one thing that may astonish people is got to be the numbers that work with the USGA to keep everything going this far in advance. I mean, there's events coming up, the Ryder Cups this weekend. I mean, you just go on and on with what the USGA does for amateur golf, and then obviously the Open and the Senior Open, and putting those events together year in and year out. How many people, or maybe that's something that's you don't know at this point.
Well, the volunteer level at the Senior Open at the Broadmoor this past summer was a little bit more than 3,000 people to do all the things from transportation to scoring to player relations to medical, all those kind of things. I mean, it's the gamut. Think about having, 156 guests come to your house for a week. What would you need to do to make those people happy and then walk away saying, man, I had a great time? Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Usually we just roll in a bear truck and get a big Subway.
Well, that's done too. I mean,
well, obviously it's good time. There's, you know, I guess for the fans, Senior Open, Regular Open, there's no difference. It's just the difference in the guys that are coming to play, or if it was a women's event, who's coming to play. Everything's pretty much the same except the competitors, isn't it?
Well, let me tell you this. I have a friend of mine. I live in Pennsylvania, and I have a friend of mine who gets to go to the Broadmoor out in Colorado Springs quite a bit for business. And I saw him for the first time since he'd been there between the Senior Open and today. And he came to me and he said, you know, if I wouldn't have had to putt, I probably would have shot in the 80s, but I shot 107. So the golf course that the players at the Senior Open, the Champions Tour level play, is very, very difficult. It's very long. We exact a lot out of the players in every club in their bag. We accentuate the difficulty of the golf course. A Donald Ross golf course like the Broadmoor was is always going to have a lot of subtleties and a lot of differences in the greens. And the players did. There was only one player at the Senior Open who didn't have a three-putt all week at the Broadmoor, and that was Mark McNulty. He finished third. But even the winner, Eduardo Romero, had made four straight bogeys in the final round and had to hang on to survive. So, I mean, those guys play the golf course as difficult as it's going to be. We often get asked, what's the course record? Well, it doesn't matter what the course record is because nobody's ever played the golf course the way we set it up for the championship. And if you can, that the record that's shot at that event is what's going to be the course record because you're probably not going to play it any more difficult, even though they might have a corporate outing the Monday after and people will think they can go out there and shoot 75 and they'll be losing a lot of bets if that's what they bet on.
Doug, I think a lot of people are excited for this event, not only coming to Omaha, but just the quality of players that are going to be able to qualify for the Senior Open at that time, and that's got to be exciting for the USGA as well.
Yeah, and we often say at the USGA, just because you don't know the name doesn't mean they're not good. We see that day in, day out at our amateur championships where we see somebody that we've not even heard of who plays great golf and ends up in the semifinals or actually wins the championship. So just because it's not Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Patrick Harrington or Sergio Garcia, doesn't mean you're not going to see great golf. There's going to be people that are going to shoot, you know, 65 or 66 on that first day in 2013, and you're going to say, who is this guy? You know, and he's going to shoot 67 the next day, and you're going to say, better find out who he is.
Well, Pete, I hope we can have a chance to check up with you or some other folks there with the USGA as obviously we get closer to the event in 2013. And best of luck with the upcoming events, and we will see you when Omaha rolls around. Hopefully everybody's safe and healthy here in about 5 years.
Well, the Senior Open's been on my schedule for the 10 years I've been working at the USGA, and I look forward to all my – I often say that the, the nicest folks we meet are on the road or ones from the Midwest, and I look forward to my my visit to Omaha.
Well, Pete, thanks so much. Best of luck with this tournament.
Thanks for having time for us, guys.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Manager of the immediate relations at the USGA, Pete Kowalski, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, that's coming up in 2013. We're up against a break. We need to take it back after this to wrap it up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
There they are, two dirty boys.
We had nothing to do with it. It was all their idea.
Now your tablecloth is stained, and how?
More dirty deeds done dirt cheap when the Doug and Danny Show returns at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
West Airlines, we secretly recorded the employees of other airlines.
So how many bags will you be checking today?
Then played them backward to search for hidden messages.
I'm not going to charge you fees.
Then we conducted the exact same experiment on our own Southwest Airlines employees.
Hello, sir. So you'll be checking two bags?
Now backward.
No hidden fees.
The results lead us to conclude that Southwest Airlines is the only airline to offer low fares without hidden fees. So book now at southwest.com.
Low fares, no hidden fees.
Ground 1, this is Tower 1. I am swinging into position.
Tower 1, this is boat 3. I will count you down for 3 and 2 and 1 and... Bingo.
Bullseye, Tower 1.
This is what it sounds like when engineers use Nextel Direct Connect to place a 780-ton suspension bridge foundation tower. Communicate in less than a second with Nextel Direct Connect and get more done with unlimited plans only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel.
Hey! All you farmers out there, are you listening? I know a lot of you are still irrigating, but before you know it, it'll be time to hit the fields for harvest, and the last thing you want to worry about is your ATV breaking down. So get into Kearney Yamaha now! Let their service department guys make sure your ATV is working as hard as you'll be this fall. And be sure to check out the lineup of new 2009 Yamaha ATVs. There's no need to wait until after harvest with Kearney Yamaha's Buy Now, Pay Later program. Going on right now on all new Yamaha ATVs. So what are you waiting for? Get into Kearney Yamaha today before harvest. Kearney Yamaha, years of experience and huge selection. Just south of the Kearney I-80.
Personal watercraft. ATVs, just the motorcycle that'll suit your needs. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha. Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, Kearney Yamaha.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see more sunshine develop across the area today as temperatures climb up to about 84 for the high. Winds will also stay to the southwest for 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see clear skies and a light southwest wind with lows of 50. Highs push back to 84 Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 72.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time.
Oh, yeah. Four in a row for the Royals. 3-0 over Seattle yesterday. And again, the Royals and Mariners tonight here on ESPN Radio. We've got some volleyball for you tonight. St. Cecilia at Blue Hill on the Breeze 94.5. Kearney High at Northwest will be coming your way tonight on Power 99 FM. Got one more email I want to get to at the Dent Popper inbox. Guys, what was Ed, I know everything since I'm a lawyer, Hockley thinking on Sunday? We are very embarrassed to be part of this community. Signed, Phil Luckett, Don Denkinger, and Tim Donaghy.
Oh, God.
Donaghy, NBA, Don Denkinger, of course, Royals, and...
85 World Series.
First base, beautiful call, and Phil Luckett. Would you like to call heads or tails, boss? Tails? He's called heads. Thanks, Trent. Appreciate that. Hey, we want to thank Pete Kowalski, Media Relations Director for the United States Golf Association, and Mike Babcock, Husker historian, with his new book, Nebraska Football Vault, out, for joining us today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Among our guests tomorrow, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, for his weekly spot.
Doug, follow up on that USGA talk. There are going to be three of the next four that go on right here in the Midwest. Crooked Stick Golf Club in Carmel, Indiana in 09. Inverness in Club in Toledo, Ohio, and Indian Wood Golf and Country Club in Lake Orion, Michigan. So then that follows up with the Omaha Country Club in 2013. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!